We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and we're in the middle of a discussion of the differences between men and women in conversational styles. And tonight we have to touch on a few more points. And we'll begin with the different needs of men and women in conversation. And let's begin with a concept called framing. There was a Harvard professor who did research for a number of years on family businesses. And they sat down and analyzed the conversations that take place when they have board meetings between family members and family businesses. And what they discovered is that the conversations can very often end up being framed around the relationships that are ever present within a family from the time the kids are young. So let's take, for example, the brother says, I think we have to start this new venture of advertising. And the sister says, I don't think we can afford that right now, given our budget and our expenditures on the new products we're developing. So what's happening behind the scenes is, he's saying, I think this will bring us to success. She's responding, you know, you're an income poop. You've always been an income poop. From the day you were born, you were an income poop. I don't know why Dad and Mom ever listened to you. Everything you ever suggested brought failure to this world. So without thinking twice, she answers and says, no, we can't afford it. But what she's really saying is, you're an income poop. What is he answering back? I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. I've grown up. Just because you change my diapers doesn't mean you don't know it all. So he comes back. He's not thinking about whether her point is right or point is wrong. He starts arguing. He says, well, are you kidding? We have this budget that just got available and that budget that just got available. And how do you think your new products are going to get off the market if you don't advertise them? So he discusses it externally as a discussion of what he's trying to say, right? But after much research, they discovered that people have a certain frame of reference that whenever he says something, boom, she pipes up. Whenever she says something, boom, he starts becoming defensive and has nothing to do with the point at hand. Ah, they code it nicely. But if you really are going to push them, at some point, they're going to stand up and say, no, hey, you always tell me I'm wrong. Always. Don't you remember from the time I was 5? You haven't stopped telling me I'm wrong. And she looks at him and says, well, you are always wrong. You know, and then suddenly you discover what's at the root of the argument here. Sorry, listeners.
Family business.
So this concept of framing has a few applications within the home. Number one is that we can enter conversational styles, meaning couples can get accustomed to certain styles. The good news is you could change your habits. But we can get into certain habits. Couples can get into the habit that when he comes home, she gets on his nerves. She gets on his nerves, he explodes. He explodes, she explodes. They both walk their separate ways, and this is a recurring theme. Now, it can happen, no thank you, it can happen revolving around certain ideas, it can happen revolving around certain topics. Anytime we try to talk about the kids' chinuch, anytime we try to talk about their education, we always end up in the same place. Why? I'll give you a sad example. There was once a couple that had a beautiful marriage, and then one day, I'm making a long story short, the woman decided that the husband was too rough with the kids, that you have to be much gentler in bringing up the kids. So now, in her mind, anything he did was too rough. So they'd sit down, and he'd tell her, look, I understand you want us to be more gentle with the kids. I respect that. I value that. Let's draw up a system how we're going to deal with chinuch situations that arise. What are we going to do when certain problems arise? And they drew up the system. And 2 weeks later, they were back by the shrink. And she said, he's too tough with the kids. And he said, wait a second. Here's what we agreed. Where did I do something different than what we agreed? And she'd say, I know that's what we agreed, but you're still too tough with the kids. So they drew up a new agreement. And same thing. And the reason was, in her mind, she framed him. She decided he's too tough with the kids. So now anything he said was seen in that prism, through that prism. It didn't matter what he did or said. That's the way she viewed it. Now, this is a very dangerous tool. I'll give you an example. There's a couple. where every 2 seconds he's fidgety. You know, he can't sit 2 seconds silently. So he's the type of guy they kick out of the opera. He sits there after 2 seconds. Scratching his head, scratching his son. You know, you sit next to him, suddenly you start feeling scratchy. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You know what I mean? Some of you are, if you're wondering, is it me? Is it him? You sit there and you start feeling fidgety, and it's uncomfortable to talk to him as he's doing this. You know what I mean? You understand me a little bit, right? Yeah, okay, so imagine he's married, and his wife has no issue with it. Everything's fine, hunky-dory. Someone walks into the house and says, you know, your husband's a really fidgety guy. Doesn't get on your nerves. Boom. Dropped the poison, walked out. Suddenly, she's in the middle of eating the meal, and Chaim, could you stop fidgeting? Chaim, can't you stop for a second? Chaim, what did I ask of you? Just give me 2 minutes of peace and quiet. What's wrong with you? Wait a second, Leah. This is how I was from the day we got married. What changed? Frame of reference. We can change our frame of reference to someone. I did this with a class. I told them, I want you to know there's a guy coming in here. He's a multimillionaire. He's a super genius in computers. And he's going to join our class. He's checking out the Mahon. Okay. A guy walks in with these torn jeans, stinky like anything. He hasn't showered in ages. And, you know, his hair looks disheveled. And, hey, come on, you know, like he walked out of the slums. And he sits down, and one guy goes to the other. He's such a genius, he doesn't even have time to take a shower. Oh, that's the smell of genius. And the other guy goes, wow, I wonder if he'll have time to talk to us after class. And they're sitting here, and, you know, you can see they're all eyeing him, like, wow. Okay, fine. After class, they start talking to him, and they discover he's not the guy I was talking about. Suddenly, what a bum. How could you even talk to him? Wait a second. When he was a millionaire, it was okay that he stank. It was okay that he looked that way. When he was the supercomputer genius, every word he said was pearls of wisdom. People were interested in what he said. Now you suddenly, he's not the guy you thought he was. What a bum. Frame of reference. It's our choice. It's not only something that people put upon us or that clicks. We can choose how we view our counterparts. So if we're going to say, you know, women, they talk too much. I remember before I got married, so every delivery guy, you know, you order a fridge, you order a washing machine, every delivery guy would give me words of advice. So I still remember the guys carrying the fridge. They said, son, let me tell you, the rule in marriage is women talk too much. The sooner you put them in the place, the better, and then you'll have a happy life. I didn't ask. But you can imagine if someone tells you that, so now every time your wife's going to open her mouth, you're thinking, she's talking again. She's at it again. Now people can enter, people can create these frames of reference. And this is one of the great strengths, the great tools we have, ben adam l'chaveru, towards our fellow man as well. If I can view the other person as a tzelem Elohim, as a representation of God on this planet, then I can look at everything they do differently. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that raising children becomes easier with time. When the first child's born and he's wailing and he's doing all the shtuyot that children do, it's very difficult because all you see is the moment. By the time you get to the third, fourth, fifth, you already know this is a passing stage and this is going to grow to be such a beautiful child. This is nothing. This is nothing compared to what's yet to come. And then you view it differently. That's why the later children, you find parents having much more patience for the little children than the older children. It's not only because the parents aged, it's also because the parents understand to get perspective. They have a frame of reference. When the child is all of 2 weeks old and he's keeping you up night after night, you don't have koach. All you see is the moment. When you're up to your later children, then you start understanding, this is nothing. This is nothing. There's so much good yet to come. This is fun. This is the way you get there. So framing is a tool we have to be wary of. And this is one of the reasons that bad friends and bad in-laws are tremendous baggage to a marriage. Because if every time your in-laws call, they tell your wife, "Tell me, Javi, has your uncle found the job yet? Javi, you know, does he still nag you all day?" Oh, you know, you hear that once, you hear that twice. It's venom. It's venom that could destroy a marriage. I've seen marriages destroyed on this venom. Because if you keep changing her frame of reference to view her spouse negatively, then you're really laying the seeds for destroying the marriage. One of the roots to building a good marriage is that we have to be able to view the other person positively. If I can view him through a positive prism, then I can view everything positively. Like the guy who walks in here, and everyone had every reason to distance themselves in every direction. On the contrary, guys were piling around him just to be the first one to talk to him after class. Until they discovered it wasn't the one I was talking about. That didn't matter. Perspective, frame of reference. So that's the two sides of it. But we haven't even started yet. This was just introductory. Yes, Uli.
Oh, well, you probably didn't address this anyway, but the follow-up question, of course, is if someone has a frame of reference to you, and his family negative, right? You're trying to manipulate and change it. Like, look, you view me like this. They are, as the system is built, they're going to be defensive about it and say, no, I don't view you that way. You are that way. And so how do you change this frame that somebody has? Because, like you said, it's very hard to change without people getting defensive, and then you're back to square one. It's like a vicious cycle. It's never going to work itself out. So how do you change and get the frames back built on?
I think that deserves a longer discussion, but I'm not sure I can address it shortly. I would give a few tips, but I'll give a tip on the sidelines, okay? I'll just, as an example, but how to apply it practically, I can't go into it right now. But let's just a thought. The Torah tells us that when the angels came to Avram, so they're sitting at the meal, and they ask Avram, "Aye, Sarah ishtecha? Where is Sarah, your wife?" What does Avram respond? "Hine ba'ol, oh, she's in the tent." What does Rashi tell us? The angels were coming to point out to Avram that we'd expect her to be out here. When Avram answers, "Hine ba'ol, she's in the tent," they're arousing within Avram that recognition, she's exceptional. Other women come out to the meal. She's modest. She took care of all the food. She did everything she could. And she's even partaking of the conversation. She's listening just behind the curtain. She's following everything that's going on. But she's modest. She's in the tent. Tells us Rashi, which is really a Gemara, l'chabev alav, to make him appreciate her more. Meaning, sometimes a stranger can help us have appreciation. We had a guy come to our house, and my wife served the Shabbos meal, and there was rice. So he takes rice, and he starts talking about the rice. "I never ate such delicious rice in my life." And the second spoonful, he says, "You know, it's just the right texture. And it's soft, and it's fluffy, and it's moist. This is the most amazing rice I ate in my life." And the guy's going on and on and on. And after the first minute, I wasn't only embarrassed. I asked myself, "Is he for real?" And I go, "How long can you go on and on about rice? You know, tell me other things, the rice." But you know what? Ever since then, I appreciate my wife's rice much more. So, you know, you can change a frame of reference. As an outsider, you can help. And a person can say a word, a positive word, which definitely helps. So, again, I didn't answer the question really, but a word of thought. I didn't say, I said I'm not answering the question right now. It deserves a broader discussion.
Long time ago, before I came here, my at a Jewish restaurant, my friend had like a crush on the Jewish waitress, right? So my friend took me there, and he basically paid me to make him look good.
Yes, Nahum.
What do you do about in-laws?
We need a separate class on that. Remind me. Later on in the series, we'll try to get back to that.
You make them outlaws.
Suffice to say, there are probably more in-law jokes than anything else.
Tell you something about the nature of the...
You know, you're speaking from that angle.
I was okay. Not other areas necessarily.
No, I meant you're on the becoming an in-law front soon.
Yeah.
Soon to be.
Yekas don't interfere. Other people do. They don't mind, generally.
Yeah, that's what all the in-laws say. I'm not interfering. I just wanted to tell you that.
Yekas have other issues.
Okay, back to the homestead. So, we said framing is an important tool. It is something which we have to be aware of. It is something which we can discuss openly with our spouse. It is something which, if we see that there's someone that's causing us to view our spouse negatively, then we should reduce contact with that person. Meaning this is something which a couple can talk about openly. And if a couple realizes, I told couples that they have to shut their phone line to their parent. Meaning we had a couple that was on the verge of divorce, and they both recognized that it was her mother who kept poisoning her against her husband. And I sat down with them and I said, "You guys want the marriage to work or not?" And they both said yes. I said, "Well, where do you see the problem rising from?" And they both recognized it was her mother. And then I said, "Okay, then what's our solution?" I said, "I think our solution is no contact with your mother." And the only contact, you know, you have to go from one extreme to the other extreme. And then you tell your mother, we'll talk on Fridays, I'll wish you a good Shabbos. But you have to understand that if you speak negatively about my husband, then we won't be able to continue talking. And the first time your mother says something negative, you say, "Mom, sorry, I have to go now." And you don't call her the next Friday or the Friday after that. And after 3 weeks, you call her again. And she'll learn. And it worked. I'm saying that's an example. And after they cornered the parents and they taught them that they will not listen to them speaking negatively about their spouse, during the course of time, we were able to reduce it to the point where they actually have a normal relationship and the parents even come to their house. And they have a normal relationship. But I'm saying the tools to deal with it, the first tool is to recognize it's an issue. Recognize that this is part of what forms shalom bayis or lack thereof. But this was all introductory. We haven't even hit the point yet. Yes, Chaim.
So is shalom bayis more important than the other?
100%.
Then what?
You do not owe it to your parents to destroy your home for them. No.
Any more important than what was
it? It's a big issue, because Ten Commandments would seem to threaten some other if they know better.
No, that's not included in Kibbud Av V'Aim. And not only that, it says Kibbud Av V'Aim is that you don't have to suffer expenses of your own for it. There's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Let's say Rambam brings. Let's say the wife, one of the claims for divorce would be Mikalel's Yoldo Bifono. If a woman starts cursing your parents in front of you, so that's something you can't expect a man to live with. On the other hand, she could say, "I married you. I don't want them in my house. Don't want to live with them." He could say, "I married you. I don't want your parents in the house." You know, but so obviously these are tools we don't use. But the idea is that there is a certain entitlement. This is my house. I do not have to put up with .. Coming back to the concept of framing, yes. Daniel, I'm with you, yeah.
No, I just want to make your point.
What?
No, that goes together with that the parents cannot decide who you're marrying. So that's...
I accepted it. I didn't find it. It was a big hitish, because if you looked at things without any real background or learning, many times one would think that just honoring your parents, you know, the wife and the husband have to make unbelievable concessions. And the rabbis say, "No, not if it hurts the marriage."
When it comes down to specifics, you'll go to your local Orthodox rabbi and you'll work it out. But the general approach is we don't destroy a marriage for the parents. Mashnat. Okay, but all this was introductory to the idea of understanding one another in a conversation. And now that we understand the concept of framing, we have to understand that there are certain aspects of framing which are true. Let me give you an example. If we were to frame a man's conversation, most male conversation can be framed as follows. Do you respect me now? Do you think I'm smart yet? Do you value me yet? So the guy comes home and says, boy, did I discover something at work today. Frame the conversation. What's he saying? Do you respect me now? Do you value me yet? Do you realize I'm smart? The boss said he might even give me a raise for it. Do you respect me now? If that kid thinks he's going to get away with it, I'm going to show him. If those neighbors think they're going to keep blasting the music at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to tell them who's boss. I'm going to call the police on that mailman. He keeps misplacing our mail. Do you respect me yet? Do you value me? Do you realize I'm a big boss? Do you realize I'm something important? Male frame of reference. Much of our conversation revolves around this question. Do you respect, value, admire? Female frame of reference. Do you love me? Honey, how was supper? You always have to add that, do you love me, to the end of every question. Okay? How was supper? If you say it was okay, what are you saying? I'm not sure, dear. What was missing? Did you want more salt in the rice? Do you love me? Add that to every conversation, okay? And you'll start understanding what she's saying. You finish the Shabbos meal, and your wife says, should we go straight to bed, or should we sit down with some tea? Do you love me? Okay, now what would you answer if you heard that? Do you love me? Let's sit down and have some tea. Wow, he's ready for marriage. Very good. All you got to do in order to understand much of the conversation that's taking place between a man and a woman is just add those two lines. Do you love me? Do you respect me? Much of what we discuss can be understood in that frame of reference. Now, if you really know how to apply this, then you can start understanding major, major conversational difficulties between men and women. A woman comes home and says, boy, did I have a rough day today with the boss. He bawled me out. Do you love me? What are you going to answer?
Tell me all about it, honey.
What else do you say? Oh, it must have been so tough. You commiserate. You share. You want to listen. But what do us men hear? Do you value me? Do you appreciate me? We listened to it with male ears, right? You're such a good worker. I can't believe the boss would do that to you. Boom. Is that what you wanted to hear? No, but as a man, that's what you would want to hear. If you came home and said to your wife, I had such a tough day at work today. The boss bawled me out. What did you want to hear from her? You're such a good worker. You do such a good job. How dare he talk to you that way? Many, many differences can be understood if you only frame the conversation with these two different needs. Now, obviously it's not always going to work. You know, honey, I have a headache. Do you love me? Now you're going to say, boy, it must be really tough. No, I want you to get me an aspirin. I want you to turn down the music. You can't relegate everything to that. But to a large degree, much of our conversations are stemming from these two questions. And you understand that sometimes we answer something that's mamash not what she wanted to hear. And she'll sometimes answer something that's really not what you wanted to hear. You know, it's really cold outside, but I think I'm going to go out without the coat. Do you respect me? What does she say? Of course I love you. Honey, please put on a coat. Wait a second, are you my mother? I just said I'm going to weather it without the coat. What, are we going to fight about whether you're going to wear a coat? All I did was ask. You know, this is a true story. There was a guy flying into Levaya from New York. I called up and I said to his wife, you know, I know he's busy. He's preparing his mother's Levaya. But he might not know that even though there's Jerusalem, it's really cold here this winter. Maybe you want to ask him if he could take along a coat. I don't dare do that. She said to me, they're married 20 years. She says, I can't offer him to take a coat. I'll say I'm mothering him. Okay, do you respect me? Why, you think you have to tell me to take a coat? Okay, because our frames of references within the conversation are very different. And we have to stop and understand where she's coming from, where he's coming from. And if both sides start understanding that, we have the beginning of a direction for better understanding in conversation.